Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
And thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. Looking forward to this intriguing, informative, challenging dialogue and discussion today on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you at the very outset, we'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion today. You can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get your telephone call straight through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can discuss these issues together. When we face issues, let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's not based on some denominational dogma. It's not based on the rites, rituals, and rules and regulations of some denomination. Dialogue and discussion on this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, is based on the authority of truth. Jesus said, John 17:17, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that must be our director in what we say and do and how we respond to issues. And we do so based on the central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? It is the truth. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, we want to discuss issues based on the authority of truth. And if we think on that subject, let me remind you that today we're going to be talking about, it's a question, is Islam compatible with the U.S. Constitution? Is Islam compatible with the U.S. Constitution? Or you could put it a better way, and we'll trickle down to that in our broadcast today. Can a good Muslim be a good U.S. citizen and abide by the U.S. Constitution? That's what we want to answer today on this broadcast. And if you have ideas or thoughts or suggestions based on not just ideological philosophy, but based on facts, call me. Let's talk about them. You may disagree, but we're not going to be disagreeable in doing so. But we're dealing with a very urgently important issue in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it would seem if you speak the truth about issues, that today, if it's issues that you're speaking about that's not politically correct, then you really do not have free speech. Yes, we have gotten to the point in America today, if you confront issues, especially if you're in a political position, if you're in high-profile conservative television broadcasting, and you speak the truth, and you confront the issues, then all of a sudden there is a hammer that's holding over your head that prevents you from being honest and forthright. Fox News, for years, has been a bastion of truth. It's been a bastion of clear, concise, without being commingled with philosophies and ideological thoughts, news that we could count on. But most are not aware of the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that about 21% of Fox News is owned by the sheiks of Dubai. And they made the brag here 2-3 years ago that if Fox ever says anything they don't like, all they've got to do is make one telephone call. Well, they didn't have to make the telephone call this time. It was CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. And the Council on American Islamic Relations raised most of the funds for the two Islamic jihadist House of Representative members that we have today. That is Tlaib and Omar. You search the records and you find that both of them were well-funded by the Islamic movement in the United States of America. It's called CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. It's the most wicked, vile, evil, despicable organization on the face of the globe. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of speaking the truth, a good example of being fired, if you will, or put out off the television network for speaking the truth, is Judge Jeanine. Judge Jeanine Pirro had been on Fox News for some time. Judge Jeanine's show had historically been aired on in the our time zone at 9 o'clock on Saturday evenings. And Judge Jeanine is a very serious, very outspoken, forthright judge and TV host. Judge Jeanine has confronted in the past few years several political, social issues over these past few years without fear of any, any way of being infringed upon as her religious liberties and freedom of speech and constitutional rights. Ladies and gentlemen, Judge Jeanine, on March the 10th, made some statements that's gotten her taken off Fox Television Network, summarily removed. May I remind us, all of her rights and privileges and opportunity to face issues, as you find with Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Judge Jeanine, ladies and gentlemen, if those four shows are taken off Fox, Fox has no more value to tune into. Let me just simply say it. If those voices are foreclosed on Fox Network, Fox Network has no value to the conservatives in America today. Donna Brazile was just hired by Fox. Donna Brazile, the former head of the Democratic National Committee, just hired to be one of the key spokespeople about political issues. If you've noticed recently, Fox has become more and more left-leaning, appeasing the socialist Democrats in our nation today. I am bothered by, highly incensed by, but ladies and gentlemen, that's their prerogative, not mine, but all I can do is address the issues as I see them. But Fox News just foreclosed the possibility of Judge Jeanine's facing the issues, and I'm sure it has had a chilling effect on Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and Tucker Carlson in their monologue, dialogue, and discussion about issues on Fox. All of this ended March the 10th when Judge Jeanine openly confronted one of America's newest members of the U.S. House of Representatives, a Muslim U.S. representative, Ilhan Omar. She's a Democrat of Minnesota. By the way, multitudes of the, during the Obama administration, of the Islamics coming in to America were, if you please, settled or resettled in Minnesota by the Obama administration. And the end result we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, in these cities and states and parts of the nation where those were resettled under the Obama administration, they make up a large block of Islamic jihadist votes today, and they're being very, very crafty in their doing so. And we'll find in the future, ladies and gentlemen, more and more of the Islamic jihadists. What I call them Islamic jihadists, because they are. Under Islam, the only way an Islamic person can enter into paradise is by committing jihad. And for those that go to hell as Islamists, as a result of going to hell, under Islamic doctrine and philosophical rhetoric, I can't call it theology, and I have in my hand the Islamic book called the Quran. It's called the Noble Quran. It is the only Quran that is recognized and revered by the Islamic scholars. And it is very, very clear that under Islam, if an Islamic person goes to hell, then as soon as another Islamic commits jihad and kills a Jew or a Christian, then one will be released from hell. If you don't think that's a lot of hot air and rhetoric, then we need to gather together and see what the Word of God says about that whole aspect of it. But Judge Jeanine, as a result of confronting open anti-Semitic speech, and this was done by Omar and by Tlaib. Both of them have had major, major anti-Muslim, anti-Christian, anti-American, anti-Jewish speeches. And Judge Jeanine, remember, remarked something about the anti-Semitic speech that was done on the floor of the U.S. House by Omar as she demeaned and debased the Jewish people. Judge Jeanine said this. Let me just read you the elongated quote, ladies and gentlemen, of what Judge Jeanine said. Then I want to talk about it and I want to illustrate it with facts, and I want to illustrate it with verses they call surahs out of the Quran that validates Judge Jeanine's remarks, and how sad it is to see the squelching of freedom of speech and the chilling effect that it will have on all broadcasting today for any person to take the position of revealing the truth about Islam. Judge Jeanine said, think about this. She, speaking of Omar, is not getting this anti-Israel sentiment and doctrine from the Democratic Party. So if it's not rooted in the party, where is she, that is Omar, getting it from? Think about it. Omar wears the hijab, that is the Muslim head covering, which according to the Quran, 3359, tells women to cover their heads so that they won't get molested. Now, this is where it comes down to. Here's what Judge Jeanine says. Is her adherence to the Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia, that means Islamic, Quranic law, which is in itself antithetical to the United States Constitution, end quote. And for the factual remarks about Islam and about Sharia law and what the Quran says, Judge Jeanine has been removed from Fox Television Network. In fact, here's an article talking about it. Fox yanks popular show. President Trump fights to save it. I find it refreshing. Nobody else has come to her defense. The article says one day after Fox Channel News Channel yanked one of its highly rated controversial talk show hosts from the air, President Donald Trump jumped in into the fray in an attempt to save the program. And he goes on to talk about it. Fox must stay strong and fight back with vigor, Trump continued. Stop working so hard, he says, to become politically correct. Further, he says, Shapiro said, that's Judge Jeanine, said of the Muslim congresswoman on March the 10th broadcast, think about this. I just gave you the quote. She's not getting this anti-Israel sentiment doctrine from the Democratic Party. So if it's not rooted in the party, where is she getting this doctrine? And it's quoting, she's quoting directly from Surah 3359, directly from the Quran when she makes that statement. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very correct as what she has said in relationship to that. In fact, many are not aware of what the Quran says, and so therefore as a result of that, they are not concerned about whether or not it's true or not. But in Surah 3359, I'm reading from the Noble Quran in my hands as I speak. And it says, O prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers, that's talking about Islam, to draw their cloaks, their veils over their bodies, screen themselves completely except the eyes or one eye to see the way. That will be better. That should be known as free, respectable women so as not to be annoyed, as not to annoy Allah. End quote. That's right from the Noble Quran, as it is called. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Judge Jeanine was 100% correct when she made the statement. She has a right to ask the question, and everyone listening to the sound of my voice today has a right and a responsibility to ask the question, where are we going in our nation today with allowing Islam to creep in? And it's done so silently because of Americans and the political machine in particular being absolutely frightened to death to say anything openly about it and to confront it openly. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a true fact that unless we take a stand and say something publicly in relationship to this, and unless we take a stand and say something to our politicians, it's going to continue. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Rashid Tlaib, that is the other Muslim jihadist House of Representatives member, in a group that calls Jews satanic. Tlaib, a Muslim Democrat, newcomer to Congress from Michigan, already has established a reputation in Washington as a radical. Here's the article. Tlaib is a member of the Facebook group Palestinian American Congress. Listen, she is a member of the Palestinian American Congress. Let me digress for a moment from the article. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1928, the Muslim Brotherhood was founded. And the Muslim Brotherhood, part of that is CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They have a couple of hundred different organizations in America that shroud who they really are and what they're doing. And part of it is the fight for Palestinians claiming that the Jewish people have no right to Israel. And the Palestinians, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, has never been an ethnic group. That is a term, a name that's been given, and it is not indicative of who is the real owner of the land in Israel. But going to say, Tlaib is a member of the Facebook group, Palestinians, American Congress, where members often demonize Jews. The investigation revealed the group's founder, Palestinian activist Mohar, was a key fundraiser for Tlaib and organized her campaign and the events for her around the country. Further, the article says, they claimed that the Jewish people aren't actually Jewish and invented their historical claim to Israel and secretly control the media in America, according to Tlaib's position. Here's another article that says, Tlaib and Omar co-sponsor a bill to recognize Muslim holidays as federal holidays in America. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what I'm saying. Freshman Congressman Omar and Tlaib have wasted no time in shaking up the U.S. House of Representatives. Early Friday morning, Omar and Tlaib introduced a bill adding Islamic holidays to the federal calendar, which has traditionally only recognized American holidays. Further, the article says, Omar and Tlaib justified their work as making America more inclusive of its Muslim American population and moving us farther away from the U.S. history as a primary Christian nation. The women are also considering a last-minute addition to their bill that would allow the regular Salat, that is S-A-L-A-H, time breaks for the school children and workers, as well as designated areas in each public business where Muslims could form Salat, that is the five daily prayers plus the Friday prayer, unmolested. You hear what I'm saying? If it becomes federal law, then every place of business that has a Muslim worker, that worker would have the right to cease and desist his work and go to a prayer room that will be federally required by the federal government for the Muslim, for the employer, for the company, to develop prayer rooms and prayer rugs and foot basins for the Muslim workers. If they have only one, it would still be required. If this passes, the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate votes it in, and it is signed into law, ladies and gentlemen, we would have just witnessed the ultimate control of America by Islamic jihadists. Ladies and gentlemen, what does Islam believe? What did they do? So is the judge correct? Is Judge Jeanine correct? Can a Muslim obey the Quran and be a good Muslim and be a good American citizen and obey the U.S. Constitution? Let me just give you a few things about Islam, ladies and gentlemen. And I can say so, I believe, with pretty solid authority. I've had the privilege of publishing two major books on the work of Islam and the study of the Quran. One book is Islam Tolerant, about 325 pages, 25 chapters in depth, and also a book entitled The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, about the Islamic invasion that is coming into the world and with their desire to control the Western Hemisphere and Islamicize it. And that's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm talking about the dangers of. So please realize, ladies and gentlemen, in Islam, under Islamic law, under the Sharia law, there's no religious liberty. There's no freedom of speech. There's no right to keep and bear arms. No church can exist in any Islamically dominated country. You ever wondered why in Islamic dominated countries that there are no churches, no Christian churches of any denomination? Because it's not allowed. You see, the goal for Islam is to dominate the globe and therewith remove any vestige of Judaism or Christianity on the face of God's green earth. Islam denies the Trinity, that is the Holy Trinity, the triunity of the Godhead. Islam rejects Jesus Christ as being God come into flesh. Islam rejects the biblical account of the crucifixion of Jesus. Islam will not allow Muslims to have Jewish or Christian friends. In fact, the Quran is very, very clear. Make no friends with, it's speaking to the Islamic people, to make no friends with Jews or Christians. If they claim any friendship with a Jew or Christian, it is because they are allowed in the Quran to lie, to be deceitful, if it affords them the opportunity to expand their silent jihad in America or in any other nation. Islam teaches that jihad, that is killing Jews and Christians, is the only way for a Muslim to go to heaven. Islamic states will not allow the conversion from Islam to any other denomination. In fact, let me just read you, ladies and gentlemen, for our listeners' edification. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. We're asking the question on this broadcast today, is Islam comparable to the U.S. Constitution? Can a good Muslim be a good U.S. citizen and obey the Constitution? Let me just read you quickly, and I'm on page 34 and 35 of my book, Is Islam Tolerant? If it's not in the bookstore that you go to, insist that they stock it. If they don't have it, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and talk with someone here in the bookstore, our campus bookstore, and we'll be delighted to let you buy one over the telephone and ship it to you. But in Surah, that is chapter 3, verse 151, we shall cast terror into the hearts of those who are non-Muslims, Surah 2, 191, and kill them, all non-believers, that is non-Muslims, wherever you find them, kill them, such is the recompense of all non-Muslims, Surah 2, 193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah, Surah 2, 116, jihad, that is holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained, that is required, for every Muslim, Surah 385, whoso seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted. Surah 456. Those who disbelieve, we, speaking of Muslims, shall burn them in fire. Surah 4:101. The disbelievers, all non-Muslims, are even unto you an open enemy. Surah 4:102. Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 8:39, fight them, all non-believers, until there's no more disbelief in Islam. Surah 8:55, the worst moving living creature before Allah are those who disbelieve, all non-Muslims. Surah 9:5, then kill the disbelievers, that is all non-Muslims, wherever you find them, capture them, besiege them, lie in wait for them in each and every ambush. Surah 9:14, fight against all non-Muslims so that Allah will punish them by your hands and disgrace them and give you victory over them. Surah 9:29, fight against those who believe not in Allah and those Jews and Christians who acknowledge not the religion of Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how I can be any clearer, and I could read you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of the surahs right out of the Quran to validate what I'm telling you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 401-1413. Jump in the dialogue and the discussion on this issue. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says a New Jersey imam, that's I-M-A-M, that is the word for a Muslim preacher, if you will. New Jersey imam, quote, Muslims should reject freedom of speech and all religion and all press in America. A New Jersey-based imam told fellow Muslims in a lecture that they must reject the worldview of Western democratic nations which embrace freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of press. Khan went on to say, liberals want Muslims to exercise freedom of speech to insult their prophet, Muhammad. And he claimed that some Israeli psychologists say that the Zionists convinced the Europeans to hate the Arabs and the Palestinians instead of the Jews. They are claiming, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, some way, it's been a fallacy that we believe today that the Muslims hate the Jews and the Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, that is true. Here's an article that says, Sharia in the USA. Christians jailed for preaching to Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan. The Thomas More Law Center announced today that the city of Dearborn, Michigan, and its mayor, John B. O'Reilly, its chief of police, and the chief police officer, 17 police officers, and two executives of the American Arab Chamber of Commerce were named as defendants in a lawsuit, 96 pages, federal civil rights lawsuit filed in the federal district court in Detroit this morning. Here's the article. Muslims dominate the political and law enforcement process. Listen, Muslims dominate the political and law enforcement process in Dearborn, Michigan. It seems that police were more interested in placating the mayor and Muslims than obeying our Constitution. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the questions. Is it possible for a true Muslim to obey the Constitution and to be a good U.S. citizen? And in case you're wondering about that, let me summarily say the word answer is no. It's an impossibility. And we'll look at that further in a moment. Sharia law makes it a crime to preach the gospel to Muslims. Notice, Sharia law, that is a Quranic law. What the Quran says makes it a crime to preach the gospel to Muslims. This is a classic example, this article says, of stealth, that is quiet, stealth jihad being waged right here in the United States of America. And it should be a wake-up call for all patriotic Americans and Christians in particular. Here's an article that says Florida officials facing a call to resign for saying that Muslim Tlaib might blow up the Capitol. A city commissioner in one of the central Florida towns said that Tlaib is a danger to America because she might blow up the Capitol. And just because he used his free speech to state that, now there's a demand for him to be removed as a city commissioner in that particular town. Ladies and gentlemen, Representative Tamar, that is Tlaib and Omar, these groups called Jews satanic. This is from the power of the Quran and what the Quran says coming out of the Muslim Brotherhood. And ladies and gentlemen, the rise of anti-Semitism is due in part as a result of these two Islamic jihadists in the United States of America's House of Representatives. We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, the demise of our Constitution and the U.S. position allied with Israel, the closest friends of the United States in the Middle East today. Omar and Tlaib are now using the open remarks by Judge Jeanine to turn the tables and accuse others of Islamophobia. You see how they operate? Yet every imam in America today will preach and teach that Jews and Christians ought not to be accepted or embraced. In fact, the whole point is that in these mosques, most are not aware of the fact, that is their place where they prepare for what is called jihadist war. That is the place where they preach the Quran, and it is out of the Quran. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in 2006, after the 9/11 in 2001, the ultimate report from the FBI stated, asked the question, what was the cause of 9/11? And their end result of their investigation was the Quran. If a person reads and believes and practices the Quran, they cannot obey the Constitution. They cannot be a good U.S. American citizen. It's an impossibility because the Quran forecloses that potentiality. And if it's a Muslim, they must believe and follow the Quran by the letter of what the Quran says. A preacher was arrested in Dearborn, Michigan, simply for standing out on the street corner and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not because he was breaking the law of the, if you please, the sound code and the volume of it at all. That wasn't the point at all. It was a matter of, it was the Christian that was doing the preaching and the teaching, and it was against the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Chicago Imam says the Islamic Caliphate, that is an Islamic state, is our ultimate goal for America. Can't get any clearer, ladies and gentlemen. But yet our politicians are turning their face on this, turning their backs on it, refusing to believe it's possible. While this article says, while Muslim clerics in the United States typically insist that they submit to the U.S. Constitution, an Illinois cleric chastised Islamic relief organizations for not stating that an Islamic caliphate is the ultimate objective for all Muslims in America. He says, we have a higher goal that is bigger than us, and it's to establish the caliphate in America. Quote, it is ruled by a caliphate, the military, the political, and the spiritual successors of Muhammad, and implements Islamic law, which is considered non-negotiable by the law of Allah. That's where it stands, ladies and gentlemen. That's where we are in the position that unless we wake up and demand that those that go into office, that we elect only those that will take an allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, in January, the first two Muslim women in Congress in Minnesota, Amara, and in Michigan's Tlaib, were sworn in instead of using the Bible, each placed their hand on the Muslim Quran and swore to support and defend the U.S. Constitution, said, so help me God. For American citizens, ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and no other legal system is to be permitted, including the Sharia law out of the Quran. So the question must be asked and answered. Can a good Muslim become a good U.S. citizen and obey the Constitution? Theologically, no, because his allegiance is to Allah, the moon god of the Arabians. Religiously, no, because no other religion is accepted by Allah except Islam. Spiritually, no, because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. Geographically, no, because his allegiance is to Mecca, toward which he turns his face and prays five times a day. Socially, the answer is no, because his allegiance is to Islam, and that forbids him to make friends with Christians or Jews. Politically, no, because he must submit to the mullahs and to teach annihilation of Israel and the destruction of every Christian in America. Domestically, no, because he is instructed to marry four women and beat them and scourge his wives if they disobey him. Intellectually, no, because he cannot accept American Constitution since it's based on biblical principles and he believes the Bible is corrupt. Philosophically, no, because Islam's Muhammad and the Quran do not allow freedom of religion, freedom of expression, or democracy. Spiritually, no, because when he declares one nation under God, the Christian's God is loving and kind, while Allah is never referred to as kind. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, they obviously cannot be both good Muslims and good Americans. Call it what you want to. It's still the truth. You'd better believe it. The more we understand this, the better we'll be for our country and for our future. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a religious war being battled, and we need to understand how it's being carried out and what we ought to do. Thank you so much for joining this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air, even tomorrow, as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.